is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hi, this is Don Showalter from USA Basketball, and you are listening to the Hoop Heads Podcast.
Hey, Hoop Heads, wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. We've had their partnership manager and training specialist, Jefferson Mason, and marketing manager, Nick Bartlett, on the show in the past, and we couldn't be more excited about what they're doing for the game of basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market, and truly accelerate skill development faster than ever. Beyond efficient reps, Dr. Dish provides training expertise and versatility designed to develop complete players. The new Dr. Dish CT machine has further revolutionized basketball training with over 150 plus on-demand individual and team workouts from some of the best coaches and trainers in the game. These workouts include video instruction and combine game-like shooting drills with ball handling, conditioning, and agility drills. Along with workouts, the Dr. Dish training management system also provides stat tracking and analytics to track progress and ensure accountability. These are just a few reasons why top programs like Duke, North Carolina, Louisville, Florida, Baylor, and countless others are upgrading to Dr. Dish. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com. Follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And make sure you mention the Hoop Heads Podcast to get $300 off your next Dr. Dish purchase. That's a great deal, Hoop Heads. Get out and get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Bones over cones, right? Flesh to keep it fresh. Skill development is not just repetitional drills. It's situational drills, too.
Gannon Baker is regarded as one of the premier basketball skills trainers in the world. Gannon trains players from the NBA, NCAA, high school, and middle school levels. His relentless passion, work ethic, and competency for the game has the respect of players and coaches all over the world. Since 2001, Baker has been traveling all over the globe, impacting the game of basketball. He has been to 45 countries and counting, working with players and coaches on their game. NBA and WNBA players crave his knowledge and energy for getting them better. Gannon has worked with and shared the court with Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, Chris Paul, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, Brittany Griner, Maya Moore, Lindsey Whalen, Tamika Catchings, Skylar Diggins, and many more. College coaches constantly connect with him about working out their players during the offseason, as well as his basketball wisdom. Nike and Brand Jordan hire Gannon year after year to work with their high school and top European players. His schedule is constantly filled with coaching clinic events such as the NCAA Men's Final Four, Coaching U Live, Nike USA Clinics, FIBA Clinics, AAU Clinics, and high school association clinics. Most recently, Gannon has opened a Gannon Baker Basketball Asia office, where he has partnered with Stronger Me, a basketball education company based in Beijing, China. Together, they have committed to educating coaches, trainers, and players in the emerging Chinese basketball market based on the brand new systematic curriculum created to satisfy the needs of players, coaches, and parents for every level of play, starting at ground zero and guiding them along to the hopefully professional ranks. Hoop Heads Nation, if you love what you're hearing, please leave us a 5-star rating and review wherever you listen to the show. Believe it or not, those ratings help others in the basketball community find the Hoop Heads pod. We would also appreciate you sharing the show with one friend or coaching colleague that you know would enjoy listening to the Hoop Heads podcast. And if you're not subscribed yet, just hit the subscribe button in your favorite podcast app so you never miss an episode. You can find the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, and YouTube. Make sure you take some notes as you listen to this episode with one of the premier basketball skills trainers in the world, Gannon Baker. Hello, and welcome to the Hoop Heads Podcast. It's Mike Klinzing here without my co-host Jason Sunkel this morning, but I am with world-renowned basketball trainer and coach Gannon Baker. Gannon, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Mike. It's good to be here, man. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Glad to have you back on for your second run with us here on the Hoop Heads Pod. Today, we thought we'd dive right into some interesting topics that we hope our audience is going to find value in. The first one being, what is your idea in terms of the characteristics of a great coach? What do you think a great coach does that separates them from the average coach?
Well, I've always said that the two main jobs of a coach is to teach the kids how to win in basketball. And that doesn't mean that winning is important. That's the only thing. But you got to teach them how to act like a winner, you know, on the court. So it means being the best you can be on both ends as a teammate, respecting the coach and working hard. And then, you know, teach them how to win in life. I don't care if you're a middle school coach. I've coached, you know, coached middle school kids. I don't care if you're a high school coach. I've coached high school, college. I've coached college, pro. You know, I've coached pro. I've coached all levels. And the great ones, because there's great ones, maybe not as popular, but there's great ones in middle school, great ones in high school, and so forth. So there's a lot of great coaches, regardless of popularity, record, or what level they are. Just because, you know, you don't have a big basketball title that make you a big coach. No, there can be a great coach at every level and do a great job of implementing life values, teaching kids how to be a winner in life, bringing up real situations in real time, meeting these kids and their generation, getting to understand their generation and their culture, you know, what they follow, what they like, what they deal with, what their issues. And so you lay the foundation like a father. You know, and if it's a female coach, like a mother, right? But obviously success is gender free and colorblind. So, you know, those are the two things that make up a great coach. And subheadings of that is basically, you know, it's old Hubie Brown, man. Coaching is motivation, relationships, execution. And so motivation is everything about inspiring the kids and connecting. Right. Getting the kids to trust you and there's a buy-in. Right. But you got to motivate them first. You got to hit them with passion and energy and charisma and humor, you know, and tough love and accountability. Kids want to learn. Like they value learn. They'll give you their time and resources to learn. I've made a living monetarily off that for 20 plus years. And a lot of your listeners have made a life out of that in high school, you know, for more than that, because kids do want to learn, but they have to be inspired by a great leader. And there's so many coaches that are the unsuccessful coaches are the coaches that are stuck, that are bitter, that are angry, that are inflexible, that don't want to grow, you know, and that are boring, that are communistic, so to speak, dictatorial. And so that comes with motivation, man. Like coaches go to these clinics and they learn X and O and player development, which is great. But you got to also look at the emotional and the mental side of coaching. And that, you know, why? Because you got to, you know, you're an actor, man. You're in front of, you got to entertain as well as educate. You got to get their attention. You got to engage. You know, there's all kind of rules of engagement with coaching. And then, you know, relationships, man, you got to get up with technology. You got to text the kids. You got to sit kids down sometimes one-on-one and say, hey man, how's your life on a scale of 1 to 10? How's your relationship with God on a scale of 1 to 10? How's your relationship with your parents? Do you have parents? What's going on in your life right now? Like you need to do that. And you can't be socially awkward as a coach. Not to put any coaches under the bus that I play for, but I you know, looking back now, knowing what I know, I had a few socially awkward coaches. But I had some great coaches, so I could compare, right? I played for 3 different college coaches in college. I worked for 3 in 5 years coaching in college, so I got to see a lot. I got to experience the Denver Nuggets staff when I tried out for them in 2002, and I just, you know, self-aware now of all the different styles of coaching, but relationships is huge. I think I've told you 4 days with Manu Ginobili. We talk mostly about the relationship Pop had with his coaches and then with his players. And then the last one is execution. Are you competent? Do you know how to build up a program from 1-0 to 5-0? You know, are you up to date with, you know, and analytics, you know, they say now most games are won in the, you know, first and third quarter. And then how you respond to ATO. So after timeouts and, you know, all that is coaching, man. In a nutshell, I know I long winded on that answer, but I dropped a lot of good nuggets that you can rewind and write down. But that's it right there, man. That's your foundation.
Yeah, I agree with you. Let's think back to when you were first getting into coaching. How many of those things did you realize right out of the gate? And how many did you sort of build into your repertoire as you progressed throughout your career. So compare the young Gannon Baker to the Gannon Baker that's listening, that's speaking to us today.
Yeah, well, number one, I knew motivate because I was self-motivated. So internally, I thought, okay, well, you know, if I was always motivated by coaches and coaches motivated me and that worked, I once was lazy and then I hit a light bulb, kind of rocky eye of the tiger moment. And I never left from that guy. You know, that guy is still in me. So I was always, when I started coaching, my mind was always in tune with, all right, how can I inspire this guy to take his mind and his body to a place where he's never been? I want this kid to fall in love with basketball if he just likes it, or I want this kid to have an agape love, an even higher love for basketball, for his teammates, and for his goals than he's ever had before. So I've always been into motivation. Relationships was the thing I had to work on, you know, because I wasn't patient and tolerant of their softness and their silence and their stupidity. You know, those are the three S's. Now, and again, I would call kids stupid and you know, obviously I cared about them because I worked so hard for them. And I showed up. I still do. You come work out with me, I'm showing up, man. I'm in. I'm there. Let's go. Like, I'm all in. And that's the biggest compliment a player can get from a coach, is if, man, they're doing their best. You know, whatever you do, do with all your heart as you're working for the Lord. I mean, that's spiritual. But I didn't do a good job of showing it. I didn't get into their life and didn't ask, you know, as a person. It was all basketball. It was a transaction. I work you out, man. This is what you need. How's your game? Boom, good. It wasn't no life involved. No life. Never followed up with them unless they followed up with me. Never went to go see their games. Again, I didn't have a lot of time, but I didn't have that sensitive chip of really building their life up as a person. Now, if they asked or if there was something glaring, we talk about life, motivating them to be the best basketball player they could be. A little bit of life, and that was it. I missed that relationship part early on.
So what's the difference between when you were coaching at the high school or the college level, where you actually have a team of 12 to 15 players that you're responsible for, versus when you're in a training situation, whether you're working with a player one-on-one or you're working in sort of a clinic camp model? What's the difference in how you go about building the relationships? Because obviously it's a different dynamic when you're coaching a team versus in the training piece of it. So talk a little bit about that for us.
Yeah, in high school and college, because I coached in college for 5 years. I mean, it's the same problem. It's time. Because in college, you know, after you work the players out and do your class checks and all that, now you got to go recruiting or you got other things in your life. So it's really being intentional of your time and making moments in that day to just get one-on-one with the kids. I was okay at that. And after my fifth year of college coaching, I really got better at that. And then when I went into skill training, I let time get the best of me and I didn't fill in that relationship void, even to a higher level. So, because skill training, you're with one culture and then you travel and you're in another culture. So you're constantly building cultures and speaking life into kids, but you don't get that follow-up, that daily connection. And so, you know, high school coach, the same thing, man. It's like, man, you know, you got kids, you got class, that's your real job. But high school coaches, if you ask them, hey, what do you do for my high school coach?
That is so true.
You get paid $3,000, man. Your real job is your social. So, I mean, you know, so many, like, they got their other job, right? And they can't do their real job. So it's being intentional, man. It's being technology savvy, like texting guys and learning how to FaceTime, learning how to Facebook Messenger, sending an article of depression when you know one of your kids is depressed. It's taking him to a park, just you and him, giving him time, showing him that, man, you're important. And doing that with all 13, 14 guys, even the guys that don't play a lot, you got to give, you know, them their time. And everybody has different love languages. So, you know, love language is how you receive importance and value from people. Some it's words of affirmation. Some it's gifts. Some it's time. Some it's acts of service. So there's a great book. I think his name is Gary Chapman.
That's a great book. Anybody out there who hasn't read it, it's a fantastic book about relationships for sure.
So you find what wets their whistle, and then you got to be intentional about it. And because the better your relationship with the kid, the better they're going to they'll have better aptitude on the court, which means the ability to learn and get that information from you on the court and do what you say, want to do it. And that's all it is, man. I mean, you know, winning comes down to talent, right? And then it's motivation, execution, relationships. Will they buy in? Will they trust you? Do they do work as hard as they can every single possession in that game? So it's intentional with your time, and it's really being in tune with, hey man, I haven't talked to Johnny in a while. Let me get a touch with him. And it might be sitting down eating lunch with him. It might be visiting him in PE or, you know, whatever you can to connect and have it's conversation. And it's hard to do that because time is an enemy sometimes.
Yeah, I think being intentional is key. That's been a theme that, as we've talked to coaches all over the place at every different level, day one of practice or day one when you get your job, thinking that that's what I'm going to do and that's what's important to me. And then, as you said, the daily grind kind of gets to you and it chews up that time. And then the things that you had planned to do, if you're not intentional about them, sometimes those go by the wayside. So I think that's really a good piece of advice. And as long as we're in the mindset here of getting better and improving and growing, I wanted to ask you, because I think this is something that coaches out there can learn from you as a coach. What are some of the things that you do to improve yourself as a coach? What are some of your go-to sources, maybe go-to people, just your process for how do you get better day in and day out, so that you know you're giving the maximum value to the people who are coming to you as a coach?
Man, that's a great question. And again, I'm not religious at all, but I am spiritual. I am a Christian. And I mean, my life source. So I believe that God gave me life and he gave me my parents and he put me on this earth for a reason. So if I'm a phone, then he's my electrical outlet. And I'm going to work for a while, but then I'm going to get worn down. And if I don't plug into him, you know, my emotions, my mentality, my feelings aren't going to be where they need to be as a man, as a father, as a mentor, as a coach, as a husband, as a friend. And so, I can say daily, I have solitude time. And coach, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. That's cool. I love you. That's fine. But do you believe that there's a higher being? Do you believe that there's a universe? Do you believe that life is all related? Then, you know, okay, no, okay. Well, the best coaches out there had quiet time. I don't know Pat Riley's spiritual foundation, but he calls it quiet time. And he was very successful in basketball. He would sit down in his office, turn off the lights, quiet, maybe put on a little soft music, have an open notebook and pad in front of him, and just write thoughts down. And that's solitude time. Do research on meditation, right? It's proven, 100% proven, if you meditate every day. Again, every day might be 10 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, but you get some quiet time and you release stress, release anxiety, release confusion, ambiguity, and then you receive this, you know, wisdom, you receive knowledge, you receive clarity, you receive thoughts, you receive ideas. You feel me?
I feel you.
So for me, it's doing that with the Bible, with the sermon, with a good book, and just talking to God like I'm talking to you. But I'll use some scripture, because if you speak the word comes to life in your life. And that's number one. Number two, I mean, you go to the best of the best. Success has left footprints. So follow them and seek wisdom of those that come before you. So for me, it's Kevin Eastman. I play for him. I work for him. He's a friend. I'm not like him. He and I are totally different. And I'll tell him that. Like, and I ain't reading all the, I ain't reading as much as
you. You're not reading 2 hours a day?
I mean, I think he reads more than that, 4 hours a day. But I'll read an hour, maybe sometimes two. On some days, yeah, I might read five or six when I'm on the road. But no. But when I do read, I write stuff down and I go. But I'm a little ADD, man. You know, I'm a little. I had a little reading and comprehension problem in high school and elementary school, and it takes me a while. I'm a slow reader. One of my good friends, Scott Savore, great guy, Secrets in Sports, out of Wisconsin. He's a speed reader, and man, he could just read a book in like 10 minutes. That's not me. You know what I mean? I got to sit down, recite, review. So it's okay to go to people that are a lot smarter than you, a lot better than you, that know more than you. You don't have to be them, but you can take information from them. And it's, all right, now what are you going to do with that? And here's the problem. I see a lot of people go to clinics. A lot of people got notes. A lot of people put stuff out there. But what are you actually applying? And that's why I love with Coach E, because he can give me all this stuff. He knows how to apply it all. I don't know how to apply it all, but, oh, that's a nugget right there. That one book, that one concept, that those couple basketball drills, terminologies, strategies, and they help me for the rest of my life.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Because it's not how much you know, it's what you implement and what do people get out of it? How much do they get out of it and do they buy into you? So you got to have a balance of information and you got to have you got to have people that you go to that you're actually going to use what they're giving you. You know, I love to learn. We all love to learn. That's why we're on this podcast. But what are you going to do when it's over? How are you going to apply that one word or what are you going to practice? You know what I mean? You can't practice everything because then you stand for nothing. So it's not what you do. It's what you emphasize. And so when I'm talking with Coach E, you know, if something comes out at me, I'm writing it down and I'm emphasizing that because I know it's true and I know it's right because Coach E is one of the best in the world. John Lucas, a life, you know, he's got a lot of life, and I'll call him just about balancing life and basketball and dealing with all the issues that men and athletes in our industry and coaches in our industry deal with. I mean, I'm on a talk this afternoon and doing a little research on life and basketball and family, man. Mike, 60 to 70% of coaches, are divorced in our industry. College, NBA, high school, all combined. Now, I would say most of that. That was just a fact I found on the internet, Wikipedia. You know, I didn't do thorough research, but it wakes me up a little bit. Everybody that I contacted when I was offered some NBA player development coaches, I contacted about five guys in the league that I really trust. Four of them were single or divorced. Only one was married. So, you know, it's like, man, Coach Lucas, how do I balance success and family? Because to me, both are important. It's both integrated. My job changes lives. So you go to him with that information. And then the third kind of person I go to is might be you. It might be some of your listeners. I go to people that say and do stuff that open up a treasure box within me. It's like, whoa, I want to do that. I like that. The older I've gotten, the more I've become a better listener. And I've recognized good things physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, socially, in the sense of teaching when I'm engaged. So I've become a better note taker, a better listener. I've recognized, man, that's pretty good. So, you know, the third type of person that I use or go to is anybody that speaks life and truth and passion that I can use, you know, in my life of basketball. And so that might be Hubie Brown. That might be Rick Pitino. That might be Phil Jackson's book, 11 Rings. That might be, you know, something I see on Twitter. Phil Beckner recently and I've gotten a little relationship. Good coach out of
Phil's a great dude. He was on with us. Yeah, Phil's fantastic, man. Love him.
Yeah. Yep. So he and I have a distant relationship for about a decade when he was coaching in college, and we'll hit each other up spontaneously. But you know, he stuff on his Twitter. Got to write that down. I like that one. Yep. You know, so it's like, you know, and that's it, man. But the two guys that I, you know, really, Mike Dunlap, had an hour conversation with him the other day. So, you know, I'm blessed to be able to have some influence from some people. I don't have a lot, but it's a great question, because everybody needs a coach and everybody needs somebody that has more information and experience. You know, John Lucas calls life. You need people that walk with a limp, that's been through some battles, right?
Yep.
They got some scars they can talk about, and that's got some life in them. And so, you know, the best compliment he ever gave me was, man, Gannon, you got some basketball and life in you, brother. Like, thank you. Because, you know, you want people that have wisdom but also pain. You know, you want people that are not pristine and has never been through a battle. No, man, I want some warriors. I don't want Superman, because Superman never got scarred. You know, I want Russell Crowe and the Gladiator.
Right.
I want that dude in 300. You know what I mean? I want guys that can bleed, because that's me. I'm not perfect. So I want guys that they can get that. And that's what I have.
Yeah, no doubt. Let me ask you two follow-up questions. One, so you talked a lot there about taking wisdom from some of the people that you interact with. So do you have a formal system for taking notes? Do you have a notebook? Do you have a system that you go with? And then two, if I'm a coach out there and I want to reach out to someone who I have respect for in the basketball community, any suggestions for coaches out there? If I want to reach out to Coach X, Y, or Z, maybe it's somebody who is more accomplished than me in my career, what do you recommend to somebody reaching out to somebody maybe to be their mentor, to just be able to pick their brain? So two things: one, your system for note taking, and then two, how do you reach out to somebody to ask them to pour into you?
Well, to me, in my life, note taking has been something that I've had to work on. But when you're engaged in a conversation, whether it be podcast or live or whatever, man, you got to listen. And if they say something powerful, then you got to remember it, because we forget 90% of what we hear. That's why it boggles my mind, man, that people go to, you got a great person in front of you at these events, clinics, church, speeches, school assemblies, and 90% of people ain't writing stuff, don't bring a notebook. Like, why would you go to a seminar church and you don't write it down? Like, I mean, you know, it's a fact. 90% of people. So you got to write it down. I just, pick out words and phrases and stuff that relates to my life and just, you know, write it down. So I don't know how to teach that other than, you know, just dig in and really listen. Always bring a notebook. I mean, I got a notebook in my car. I write stuff down because it helps me learn better. Even if I don't have a notebook, I have a section on my phone called Notes, and I got 50 folders. You know, I got my
book. I know that feeling.
Yeah. So you just write it down and don't be comfortable with being awkward, because you'll be in a conversation. I'll be in a conversation with Coach, let's say Coach E, right? We're in Vegas coaching you live, and he came up, talked to my wife, boom, talking to me, and then he said something pretty powerful, and I pulled out my phone, started writing that down as he was talking.
Yep.
And he, you know, and if I don't know the person as well, because he knew I didn't see me, I would say to them, hey, Matt, I'm still in the conversation. I'm just writing what you said down. That was powerful. Like, that's an awkward moment, but if you think about it, it empowers them and makes them feel important and wise. And so I'll if I don't have my phone, I'll pull out my pad and let me write that down. And then later on that week, I'll go read what I wrote down and I'll highlight stuff that I can use. And then whenever I have time to read, I'll pull out that notebook and I'll read just the highlighted stuff. See what I'm saying? So I get the stuff. It's like getting a turkey, right? put the turkey in the oven, you bake it, then you get it out and you start carving it up. You don't eat the whole turkey, but you use some stuff, and then what you don't use, you put in the refrigerator and you use later. So if I'm writing an article or I'm doing a speech or I'm doing a podcast like this, I pulled out one of my notebooks. This notebook is called Basketball and Life Coach 2018. So I started in 2018 and I looked at a couple, highlighted things, and I thought, all right, how can I use this information today when we're talking about coaching and mentoring and building a skill development program? And so I just reviewed it last night. I reviewed it this morning. And now, you know, organically, I'm trying to, regurgitate, recite things that are real and, you know, answers to your questions. So the truth fears no question, Mike. If you study the truth, live the truth, and you try to get your heart and spirit to be the best you can be in basketball, teach the right thing, say the right thing, and not guess, then it's just going to flow, and you're going to speak wisdom and help people. So those are some, and then when I'm doing a podcast, if I hear something, powerful, I'll pause it. Right. I mean, Mike, I've even gone so far as driving down the interstate, pulled over, rewinded the podcast, wrote that down. Like that's how intentional you got to be. And then again, Coach E's notes, it's like a freaking Ivy League professor, man. It's it's beautiful. It's like a piece of art. Mine, I mean, I got stuff on napkins. I got, I'll go to a speech with a little ripped out notebook with stuff, and he's got highlighted, laminated and stuff. But you know what? It works for him and it works for me. So it's about owning your style and owning your system of taking notes.
Head Start Basketball, along with members of the Jay Billis Skills Camp staff, will be hosting the very first Prime Skills Camp, an affiliate of the Jay Billis Skills Camp that is held annually in Charlotte, North Carolina. Prime Skills Camp will take place on the campus of Western Reserve Academy, just outside of Cleveland, Ohio, June 26th through the 28th, and will be designed for boys rising to grades 6 through 9. Prime Skills Camp will mirror the Jay Billis Skills Camp in daily programming, teaching, coach-to-camper ratio, and quality of instruction. Prime Skills Camp brings all of the team-oriented individual instruction, focus on the fundamentals, and high-level coaching to young men aspiring to a high school varsity basketball experience. This camp is operated by Billis Camp veterans and includes the Jay Billis Coaches Development Program alongside the camp, ensuring that the quality of teaching and coaching at this camp is second to none. Please visit headstartbasketball.com or jaybilliscamp.com for more information or to get registered.
Your second question, as far as who out there, I don't want to guess and speak for you, but I would say if you're a middle school coach, really try to do research on the best high school coach or JV coach in your area, and have the humbleness, even if he's a competitor, man, have the humbleness to say, look, I'd like to learn this. I'm struggling with this. Or, hey, man, can I just pick your – and if they say no, go to the second best. And if they say no, then go to a college coach, because it's all relatable, right? It's all relative. There's stuff that Popovich does, Cheryl Reeves that the Minnesota Lynx does, right? Dawn Staley for South Carolina does, that we can use as high school coaches. I mean, it's you're dealing with people. Right? John Calipari's kids at Kentucky make the same bonehead mistakes on and off the court that your kids make, Mike. So, I mean, now the style of play might be different. The level of talent might be different. But, we're human beings, man. We all bleed red. So that's my suggestion. And then, it's amazing what you can find on the internet, man. Google mentors. I'm a mentor. I mean, I've recreated, revamped my business in the last 3 years to where instead of training players all the time, I'd like to, train coaches half the time or all the time now, So I actually do it for a living. And there's other coaches out there that do it for a living. But to me, that's an easy problem to solve. You just got to go find out, hey, what are you looking for? And who's in your backyard? Now, obviously, during this time, you don't want to go find them.
Better find them online and not in person.
Yeah, I mean, virtual clinic with Laysom Perkins and Lee Klein just had over 200 coaches around the country do clinics.
That thing's been phenomenal. It's absolutely amazing. There's so much content there. Yeah, it was a blast. I had a blast doing mine. Yours was great, and I've been slowly trying to work my way through as many of them as possible. But man, there's so much content there. It's incredible what those guys were able to put together.
Yeah, reach out to those guys, and just you don't even have to say, hey, will you be my mentor? Just hit them with questions. For example, I didn't know this guy knew me, but a guy named Phil Handy is the player development coach for the Lakers.
He was here in Cleveland.
Yeah, he was in Cleveland. Unreal. I don't think I've ever met him, man. Unreal dude, but he'll hit me up like he knows me. He'll hit me up and just compliment me. He'll hit me up and give some gratitude. And I'm like, and then so I start following him. I'm like, man, this guy's good. And so is he mentoring me? Am I mentoring? I don't know. It doesn't matter. All that matters is, you know what? There was a connection. And now I sent him the other day 5 questions on how he deals with these issues with his players. And it was, how do you deal with a player's laziness? How do you deal with a player's fear? How do you deal with a player's confidence? How do you respond to mistakes? You know, what are your teaching points for a side pick and roll? And so he was like, yo, I'm a call you. I ain't texting you on that. Let's talk about that live. So we're trying to, and that's all it takes, you know, just be persistent and have some resolve about you will find somebody that's going to give you the right answers. You just got to keep asking the right people and keep asking the right questions.
Yeah. And that goes back to what we talked about right off the top of the podcast, which is building relationships. And not only were you building relationships with players, but in this case, you're building relationships with colleagues in the coaching profession. And I think that's really important. And the other thing that I hear you saying that I think is important, not just as in the basketball world, but I think it's just important in life, is that you can't be afraid to ask or to reach out to somebody. And too often we kind of get trapped in our own mind and we don't get outside of that and look around and say, okay, here's a situation. And we all know that in most cases, the things that we're dealing with in our life or in our profession, there's somebody out there who's dealt with those same things before. We don't invent new problems. We have problems and issues that other people have faced. So why not reach out to people who have those answers, who have been through the battles, who are warriors, like you described earlier, and ask them for their wisdom so that we can learn from what they went through and then apply that in our own life. And I think you have to be, goes back to another word we talked about, you have to be intentional. You got to go out and you got to find those people and say, hey, I'm looking for this. I need this. I want this, but I have to be intentional about it. And I have to be persistent, where if the first person says no, the second person says no, the third person says no, I can't give up. I got to keep going until I find somebody who's willing to give me their time to pour into me, to help to make me a better person. And then conversely, just like you said with Phil Handy, not only are maybe they pouring into you, but then you're giving something back to them as well in that relationship. I think that's really what it's all about.
Yeah, iron sharpens iron, and there is no great relationship without reciprocity. And reciprocity is, if I give you time, then you give me time. And the great ones go above and beyond. If I give you passion, you give me more passion. You know what I mean? So there has to be a circular reaping and sowing in that relationship, giving and taking.
Couldn't agree more. All right, let's jump to our third topic of the day, Gannon. Let's talk a little bit about developing a skills development program if I'm a high school coach. Give me some ideas, some thoughts that high school coaches out there listening can put into practice when they start thinking about the skill development part of their program.
Well, hopefully it's legal, man. I'm so irritated with some of these high school rules.
Yeah, every state's different, and you never know what you're getting into.
Yeah, man, I wish they would have a freedom on working kids out, because it keeps them safe off the streets and active, you know, choice-driven, and then, you know, shot clock. But anyway, if you're allowed to build a workout program during the off season, during the season, and there's not a lot of time restrictions, start from scratch. You know, identify your trends and traits of how you want to offensively play. You know, you got to make sure that you know you're clear on your offensive philosophy, and then because that relates to all your 1-on-0 drills, all your 2-on-0, 3-on-0, 4-on-0. And that's how you build it. Meet with each player individually and work them out. You know, whether 14 players, do that for 2-3 weeks. Really build a relationship with them. Give them time. Show them your, you know, show them your assets as a coach. Show them how excited you are. One-on-one instruction, you have their attention. They learn quicker. They learn better. And the 1-on-0 drills, very simple. Show them a move and a counter. Off the dribble, off the finish, 1 foot, 2 foot. Off the cut, you know, no screen. Off the screen. Off the catch, right, and the triple threat. So you're teaching them, you know, 1-on-1 moves. You're teaching them separation techniques. I don't care whether you're playing against a zone or a man. You know, kids got to be able to separate for a pass or a better shot. And so guys love working on moves. And now you're like, man, this coach is cool, man. He's teaching me a move off the dribble. He's teaching me a move off the finish. He's teaching me a move off the cut. He's teaching me a move off triple threat. And then when you're teaching them these moves, use current NBA, WNBA players. Hey, this is the, you know, Maya Moore move, or this is the Damian Lillard move. Even if it's not, they don't care. It's like, man, they're getting, you know, high level stuff. So, and then after you do the 1-on-0 stuff, then, you know, do your 2-on-0 stuff. You know, you got to teach kids ball movement. So you do your 2-on-0 ball movement drills. With that, you're teaching them spacing, right? Driving kick. Good offense is driving kick. You got your screening. And then maybe after 2-on-0, you do your 3-on-0 stuff. You got your screening, right? So, and after that, then you got your, you know, you got to, in these workouts, when you do your 1-on-0, let's say 30 minutes, you got to play 1-on-1. So whether you play them or you have another kid, but you got to go 1-on-0, 1-on-1, 2-on-0, 2-on-2, 3-on-0, 3-on-3-on-3, cutthroat. Then 5-on-5 is your team. So by the time you get your team workouts during the season, man, these kids have the small parts and the whole works better. The relationship is built. You know, you're building versatility in your program, because so that's how I would build it. And don't forget film. You know, if you can film the workouts, it could be their mechanics you want to harp on, or it could be, hey, I'm gonna film this 3-on-3-on-3 cutthroat and show them. So, you know, 10 minutes. Why? Because kids can, you know, it's like a movie. They see it. You can rewind it. You just get more mental reps. And if you want your body to be right, your mind has to get there first. So they see it in the mind and they do it with their body. You can send them the link. They can watch it again. You can have them, hey, man, write down 5 things you're doing good, 5 things you're doing bad. Like it could be cerebral. Like there's not enough basketball IQ teaching, I think, in high school. At least the average program, the good ones do, right? The Matha, just for an example. I know they do a lot of taking notebooks, writing down IQ work. But, you know, in a nutshell, that's how you build it.
What in your mind is the right, I don't know if balance is the right word, but what's the balance between I'm showing a kid something new. So we're working on a brand new 1-on-1 move. How much time do I spend working with a kid without a defender on there, getting the technique down before I throw him out there in against the defender? So let's say I'm going to teach a kid a brand new move. This is a high school player. So I'm teaching them something brand new, footwork, whatever, that is a 1-on-1 move. How well do they have to have that move perfected before you throw a defense in front of them? Do you want them to be 50% of the way there? Do you want to throw them out there after you showed it to them for a half hour? Do you want just explain a little bit about what that progression might look like?
Well, how long is the workout?
Let's just say you have a typical workout. So let's say it's a 60-minute workout.
Yeah. So I always do about 40 minutes of 1-on-0 reps, you know, you get repetitional drills where you're showing the mechanics, you know, you show them the reads. If you're not open, these teammates are going to be open. That's the one thing that coaches forget about is they'll do a one-on-0 move, and they do not one time emphasize during the workout, hey, when you drive, your teammate will, one teammate will be here, other teammate will be here. You know, you got to tell them where the other four teammates are going to be and where their defenders might be so they can kind of have a visualization so that in the game, their realization is better. And so that takes time, man. So 40 minutes, you're working on mechanics, you're working on reads, you know, right? But those are called repetitional drills. You just do the same move, the same drill over and over and over and over and over and over again. And then the last 15, 10, maybe 20 minutes, now you give them reads. You know, whether they're great at that move or not, you got to give them some dessert. You got to throw them a bone. You got to give them a carrot. You got to throw some candy in there, man, because they just ate broccoli for 40 minutes. So you're not going to give them some ice cream, you know? So you got to let them play. And so whether you guard them or, I mean, hell, you should be able to guard them, man. I'm almost 50 and I can outlast some of my 20-year-olds, man. So any coaches out there that is 50 or below, you better be guarding them, man. You can get out there. If you can't, you get hurt, then go work out. Go exercise. Go work out. You don't have to do it to be a great coach, but it ain't going to hurt you. And it's one of the best ways to get kids to work harder, to get kids to come back, to get kids to engage, is because they don't see it a lot, and they get inspired when their old-ass coach is out there kicking.
Plus, they want to beat you, right?
Plus, they want to beat you. This coach has been yelling at him, so to speak, and getting on him and riding him. Oh, okay, you're going to go. I'll show you, coach. And so that's what I think about when I work out. And I'm like, yeah, I can't wait till the next Yahoo tries to, you know, tell me I'm old. Like some guy the other day in China, not the other day, but last year in China, said, coach, you old. And he said it in the Chinese slang. And I was like, all right, me and you after the practice, one-on-one. And everybody's like, ooh. And I beat him 16-1, Mike. Now he couldn't. You know, I mean, he wasn't like the college kids that I used to. You know, he wasn't that good. But my point is, you don't think that kid is going to come back and play hard? That kid had a smile on his face. I got a workout, and so you play him one on one, man. And as you're doing it, you play pause. Hey, you should have done. Stop. Do this again. You went here. You should have done this. Your head was down. Your hips weren't dropped. That's why you're off balance. When my hand is here, you do this. So as you're playing them one-on-one, you're giving them feedback and correction. And then, you know, if you have another player, well, that's easy. You just sit there and stop and play, and you give feedback, and you coach on the fly. But it's very, very important that, you know, when you're doing a drill, now you got to, you know, add the flesh, add the bones over cones, right? Flesh to keep it fresh. You gotta, you know, skill development is not just, you know, repetitional drills. It's situational drills too.
Coaches, we've teamed up with Coach Tyler Whitcomb so you can now purchase his exclusive new playbooks right from the Hoopheads Pod website. If you're looking for ways to improve your team next season, these playbooks blend affordability with the quality content that serious coaches are looking for. Just visit hoopheadspod.com/store and you'll find playbooks from John Calipari of Kentucky, Leonard Hamilton from Florida State, and Mike Young of Virginia Tech. Check out these great resources at hoopheadspod.com/store.
What does it look like in season if I'm a high school coach? So what is my skill development? Because I know a lot of times you'll hear coaches, there's that debate of how much time do I focus on my, quote, team stuff, whether that's putting in your offensive system or your defensive system or working on walking through your opponent versus just continuing to help my players develop their skills.
My frame of reference is, you know, doing this for over 20 years as a college coach and now player development, 48 countries, 48 states. I've seen it all, and I'm still seeing it. So my frame of reference is pretty good. And I would say the good programs that I've seen do skill development during the season. and they do 50% or more. So if you're doing 100%, right, skill development time, you know, so say you're doing 10 hours of skill development a week with your players. So when the season comes, do you do 10? I don't know, but I know you definitely got to do at least 5. So you cut your skill development time down to at least 50%. You're still getting 50%. You know, so a lot of teams are lifting Monday, Wednesday, Friday during the off season, and then during the season, they only lift once. Well, now you got to lift twice, you know, or three, but you keep it going. You know, here's the thing. In the NBA, WNBA, they're the best of the best. You know, winning college programs, any level, Division III, NAIA, they still find a way to get it in during the season. What do you mean? Well, maybe you have 6 a.m. open gym. Maybe you, you know, have 3-hour practices, and the first hour is skill development. I don't know. Now, I don't believe in long practices during the season, but I just know you got to find a way to get it in. And to me, again, this was back in the late 80s, early 90s. I found a way to get it in, and I was an honor roll student in high school. And the only way I could fit it in is I had to say no to a lot of, you know, entertainment time. I couldn't party. I couldn't socialize as much. You know, I couldn't hang out in front of the TV as much. I still, you know, got in my entertainment a little bit, but not as much. So that's what coaches have to do. They have to carve out time and emphasize it. If it's legal.
Yeah, I think it's huge that you have to make sure that whatever work you put in the summer in terms of skill development, that you continue to give your players an opportunity within your formal practice structure, number one. And then I think you said it well there in that you have to, going back to what we talked about earlier, you have to inspire your players where hopefully, and you may not be able to get every single guy on your roster to go out and do this, but if you can get the majority of your roster working and putting in a little bit of extra time, whether that's just coming in to practice 10 minutes earlier, staying 10 minutes late, or getting up earlier, you know, maybe you have Sundays off during the season and those guys are going to the gym anyway on Sunday and getting some shots up or working on whatever, doing something that they've been struggling with during the season. I think those are all situations where you can build it in. You can build in that skill development. And I know coaches a lot of times feel like, hey, we've got to work on this team stuff. You know, I got to figure out my press break and I've got to get this set play in. And sometimes they get caught up in that. And the skill development piece is the one that falls away. And to be honest, I think that we all know, and you said it earlier, that the skill level and the talent of players ultimately is what wins games. And yeah, coaching's important and strategy and all those kinds of things. And if it wasn't, we wouldn't all be in the coaching profession. But I do think that the more skilled your team is, the more games you're going to win. And so if you can develop skilled players as part of your program, you're probably going to have a lot more long-term success than if you're teaching them your 7th different out-of-bounds play.
Yeah, and Mike, let me say something. You know, I won a state championship in high school. We got lucky. We beat Grand Hills team in 89. We went back again in 90 to the final game and lost by 3. So we were a very successful high school team. In college, my senior year, we won the CAA. We tied Old Dominion for the conference championship. My experience with Manu, you know, he told me, you know, Tim Duncan himself and Tony Parker, right, were the leaders of the team. So as a coach, whether you empower them to do it or it just organically evolves, you got to have other sounds from the players to voice the same message and to implement the same culture on and off the court that you want to happen, because you just can't do it on your own. It can't be a communist coach dictating, do this, do that, do that, and the players have no sound. You know, a great band is awesome and successful because they have many sounds, but they're on the same band. They all have the same passion and vision. And that's to go out and be rock stars and inspire people that night. And so that's what a team has to have, man. And that's what a coach has to get to 2, 3, 4 players and say, keep sending the message, keep sending the message, keep setting culture. And it's, you know, for my junior year, it was a little bit of me, but mostly Kevin Swan, Rick Hunter, right? Paul Blackman. And then my senior year, me, Aaron Mundy, Jermaine Golson, Pete Bacot, Mark Williams. Like, I still remember the guys that were talking, and when we needed a pickup and timeouts and halftime and locker room and lunchroom and before practice, during practice. It's like, man, it was a lot of great sound. Nothing happens without great sounds, you know, and words can bring life and death, and words start to, you know, develop thoughts, and you have 30 seconds after a thought before it comes a feeling, and then that feeling becomes an action, and it all comes from the players, you know, leading with their voice.
Player-led teams are often the most successful when compared to coach-led teams, and then we actually had, we were talking to Mono Watsa last night from PGC, and Mono,
oh, yeah, good guy,
great guy, and he shared a thought that I thought was, you know, really key when it comes to talking about the culture. What you're talking about here was, he said that you have to put things in place so that the culture exists even when you're not there. So if I'm the head coach of a program and two or three of my kids are getting together to have a workout, or we're there in the locker room and I'm not there, is the culture that I've tried to instill in my team, is it still present even when I'm not there and physically present? Yep. And I think that's something that if you're coaching, if you're leading a program at whatever level, it could be you're leading a youth program, you're leading a middle school program, you're leading a high school program, and on up all the way through, the best organizations, the best teams have a culture that's present. It's not just dependent upon that one leader, that one person being there. Even when that person is at home sitting at their kitchen table eating dinner, that culture still exists anywhere that organization is. And I think that's the goal that any coach should have out there, is to put that type of culture together, which is what you were describing with your high school team, that you had guys that had bought into that culture, and then they enforced it even when your high school coach wasn't physically present, the culture was still present. I think that's a key for any coach who's trying to build a program.
You got to have locker room coaches. You got to have lunchroom coaches, and those coaches are players, you know? So,
no question.
Well said.
No question. All right, Gannon, let's wrap up there. I want to give you a chance before we get out to just share with people how they can reach out to you. Give us your social media handles. Give us your website. Just do some self-promotion here. And then if there's any final point you want to make before we finish up, you can. And then I'll jump back in and wrap up the episode.
Yeah, man. Well, I appreciate it, man. You know, I'm on social media. Gannon_Baker_ is my Instagram. Website, GannonBakerBasketball.com. I train, you know, players, camps, workouts, teams. But right now I'm doing a lot of mentoring, you know, player mentoring, reviewing their tapes, giving them feedback, reviewing their workouts. And the same thing for coaches, you know, critiquing how they handle workouts or problems. I'm doing a lot of one-on-one mentoring. We have a free Zoom call couple times a month that you can get on. Just go to my website, click on free mentorship, and I have an unbelievable curriculum from beginner to pro that kind of lays out a whole pretty much decade of your skill development program if you want, for you, and it lays out into you know, really good video PDF, and it flows, and so we have that available if that's of interest to you.
Gannon, I can't thank you enough for jumping back on with us a second time. It's been a pleasure. I want you to stay safe and healthy and your family during this crazy time that we're all living in right now. And again, we thank you for spending some time with us this morning. And to everyone out there, thanks for listening, and we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
Registration is now open at headstartbasketball.com for this summer's Head Start Basketball Camps. We'll be hosting camps for boys and girls in grades 1 through 6 throughout the greater Cleveland area. Get registered today and make sure you hit the courts with us this summer.
Hey everyone, last year at the Junior NBA Summit, I came across an amazing company called iSport 360 and its founder, Ian Goldberg. Their youth sports app gets coaches, players, and parents on the same page. Your team can set goals, share player feedback, training videos, sticker rewards, player evals, and practice assignments. All of this to foster a healthy team communication and culture. If your team or club struggles to keep open lines of communication, especially among team parents, iSport 360 can help. If you want to empower your athletes to have more success, more confidence, and more communication with their teammates, give iSport 360 a try today. Shoot me an email, mike@hoopheadspod.com, or give me a call at 216-392-4059 to learn more.
Being without basketball right now is tough for all of us, so we've partnered with ProSkills Basketball to offer you a 50% discount on their Ultimate Shooting Guide and Video Program that will put players on a guided path to becoming the best shooter they can be. With 1 year's worth of workouts that includes games, drills, and competitions, players will gain access to a blueprint showing them what it takes to become an elite level shooter. If you're looking to improve your shooting at home, this program can help. Visit hoopheadspod.com/store to check it out.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads Podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.